Praise God. Well, I do have a word for you today, and I'll tell you in advance, it is again from the book of 1 Timothy. We learned previously where Paul was telling Timothy, you know, check these guys. You know, there's some guys over there, they're trying to be these teachers of the law, and they don't even know what they're talking about. I need you to check them. I need you to stop that. Amen? And so he's, you know, the protege of Paul, right? So that gives him the power, the shadow, if you will, from Paul. I represent Paul. But you got to read the whole book. Tell somebody, read the whole book.
Read the whole book.
Read the whole book. Because it's not as simple as that. It's not as simple as, okay, look, hey, I represent Paul. Fix it. You do it. Hop to it. It's not as simple as that. Amen? Amen. Life is not that simple. Timothy was not Paul. Amen?
Amen.
And so today's message will be practical but also spiritual. Amen. Somebody in here needs this message today. Somebody will need it in the future, so everybody should pay attention. Amen.
Amen.
Now, have you ever been in a situation where you have a job to do and yet you walk into that situation immediately at a disadvantage from the very start? You've got a job to do. You've been asked to do it, called to do it, paid to do it, instructed to do it. But you walk into that situation right off the bat in the negative, right off the bat at a disadvantage, right off the bat with biases against you. Now, nothing you did, nothing you caused, right? Nothing that you created, amen? Nothing that you could control just by being you. Or there's something about you that you walk into the situation right off the bat in the negative. Amen?
Amen.
Timothy had a potential situation like this in Ephesus. We're going to learn from that situation, and we're going to learn Paul's instructions. So then we're going to know in advance when we have situations like that, how we can and should handle it. Amen?
Amen?
Our text will be found in the book of 1 Timothy. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to learn some more from this relationship with this great between this great apostle and his protege. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 16. So that's 1 Timothy chapter 4, forgive me if I didn't say that, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. We're coming toward the end of the letter, and these are letters. That's partly why you need to read the whole thing. You can't take one little verse like we sometimes do, right? Read the whole letter because these were letters. We say epistles. That's just Greek for letters. So if you wrote a letter to somebody, or they wrote a letter to you, and you read the first line or the first page and just went off and ran with that, you didn't finish the letter. So you don't really know the fullness of what they had to say, what they were getting at. So yes, Timothy, I want you to go there and I want you to check some folks. However, it's not going to be that easy because you ain't me. So I'm going to finish telling you all the instructions. If you stop back in those other chapters, go and tell those guys, and they're trying to be teachers of the law, they don't know what they're talking about. And you walk in there, you don't know what you're talking about. You're like, I know Paul, but I don't know you. I know you're one of his boys, but you ain't Paul. So we're going to learn more of what Paul had to say to Timothy. So we'll begin here in verse 12, and we're just going to start at the very first part. Read it with me, just the first few words. Let no man despise thy youth. We can stop right there. So his first instruction is let no man look down upon or scorn your youthfulness. Is it a good thing to be young? Is it a good thing to be vital, vibrant, energetic, passionate, right? But your youth can be despised. Your youth can be scorned. Your youth can become a negative. He's saying, don't let your youthfulness become a negative because it's possible. Don't let your ambition, your excitedness, your fact that I sent you. Don't let that play you. Don't let it mess you up. Amen?
Amen.
His age created a potential problem. He came into the situation with instructions, a job to do. And yet with some in the church, his very age created a bias, a problem. Who are you, young whippersnapper? And we all have things that we can come into a situation we're supposed to be in. We've got instructions. We've been told what to do. But there's something that could put us at odds or put us at a disadvantage. What is yours? Maybe it is your age. Maybe you come in and others that are older feel like they know better. Who are you? Maybe you're older and you're trying to deal with folks that feel like, well, you're an old folk. You're not up with the times. So they can't really hear you. Maybe it's your gender. You're a woman, and they don't see a woman in that kind of position. A woman shouldn't be talking to me about this kind of stuff. A woman shouldn't be over me. The Bible said that, didn't it? Maybe it's your ethnicity. Maybe it's your color. Amen? Anybody ever walk into a situation and their color was a problem? You got gifts, you got talents, you got knowledge. But are you given a fair shake? Maybe not if you're a woman. Maybe you got to be even better to be accepted. Maybe you're just different from them in any old kind of way. The point is you come into the situation, you're supposed to be there. You've got a job to do. You've got instructions. You're ready to do it. But you start out from the beginning needing advice. Hey, don't let your youthfulness be despised, because you might not have even thought that it could be. See, the last time we were here together, you had me. You didn't realize it might be a little different without me. Don't let your youthfulness be despised. Amen?
Amen.
Don't have people looking down on your youthfulness. Now, I don't know what your situation is, and I don't know what you bring to the table that others might look down upon, or others might frown upon, or others might not give you an equal shot, a fair shot, because of. But I do know that there's a way to handle it. There is a way to deal with those situations. There's a way to comport yourself. Amen?
Amen.
And let's see what Paul had to say to Timothy. So he starts out by saying, of course, let no man despise thy youth. And then he says, but, what does he say after that? Amen, amen, amen. All I'm going to do is ask you to change the word of to for. Just change the word of to for. Let no man despise thy youth, because it could be a problem. But I'm telling you in advance in this letter, that I've got things I want you to do, but I don't want your youth to be a stumbling block. I don't want it to get in the way. So what I want you to do is I want you to be an example. This is what I want you to do. You want to solve that problem? Be an example for the saints. Now that will include those that are older. Now you want to be over them, then act like a leader. Amen? You want to tell them, you want to step to them and tell them something? They're right. They do know more than you in many ways. But you got to comport yourself a certain way, amen?
Amen?
He says, be an example for the believers. An example means a type. It means a pattern. Something that, you know how you have a stamp? You put it in the ink, you stamp it. You put it in the ink, you stamp it. You put it in the ink, you stamp it. What do you expect? You expect the same image over and over again. Be an example. I want you to be so good if you spit out a whole bunch of U's, we have a perfect picture. Be an example. Be the type. Be the pattern. So if you cut that pattern out and sew it all together, we'll have the same kind of garment over and over again. I want you to be what God has called us to be, and I know that the people are working on it, and you're going to tell some folks to change some things, but I need you to try to be what you're trying to tell them to be. You want to be accepted. You want to overcome and supersede the issues that they might have with you. I need you to come correct. If you want to deal with them and you want to gain their respect, you can't be saying, well, you know, we all imperfect. Well, we are, but you better be trying to be perfect. If you want to have them listen to you and not despise your youthfulness. Paul is teaching him to live in a way that gives others something bigger and better to look at than his weaknesses potentially. Something bigger and better to look at than the fact that you're a woman. Something bigger and better to look at for the fact that you're young. Amen. He's telling him how to handle yourself so they won't focus on your age. They'll be focusing on how you live. Amen. So how do you do that? In what ways should you be an example? Well, this way, just giving your tithes. Is that what it is? Well, I'm a tithe giver. Show up on time. Is that the way you should be an example? The answer is always, amen. That's why somebody's walking with me through this. Hallelujah. Be an example in all ways. Be the best version of yourself. That's the answer, all wrapped up in one. How do I handle this, Pastor? How do I handle that situation at work, Pastor? How do I handle that situation where I'm not given a fair shake? I didn't do anything. I just showed up to do what they told me to do. Be the best version of yourself. Withholding nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says in word. So guess what? Your words matter. I was sent by Paul. You need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. I don't think so. Your words matter. Language matters. What you say matters. So I need you to be an example in your words. Hallelujah. So in other words, that means anything you say and the way you say it, you expect that to be stamped. You want that to be stamped the way you said that? Oh, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. I was sent by the Paul. You want to stamp that? Huh? You want us to cut that pattern out and make a garment and put it on everybody? Is that the way you want us all to roll? The next time Paul talks to you, you want him to talk to you like that? We're talking about being an example, being a type, being a pattern. So what you say and how you say it matters. Hallelujah. And I ain't saying you can be perfect, but you better be trying. Hallelujah. So in word, for sure. The next it says what? In conversation. That sounds a bit redundant, right? In word and in conversation, right? What does conversation mean in the old English for God's Glory Ministries? Conversation means your conduct, your behavior. Any other version of the Bible that you have is not going to say conversation. That's the old English. It actually means your behavior, your conduct, how you act. All the other things that are not words. Your behavior, your conduct. So you need to be an example, not just in your words, but also in your deeds. I need you to be an example. You want to be accepted. You want to be respected. You want the OGs to accept you. You got to come correct. So in your conversation, meaning your behavior and your conduct, you need to be an example. You must be exemplary. Hallelujah. What other ways do you need to be an example? It says in charity, meaning what does it mean for God's glory? That's right. It's not caritas in the Latin. We need agape in the Greek, and we know there's four kinds of love, and that's the kind that's better than everything. So you need to be an example in that. Can you do that? I know you can do some eros. I know you can do that. I know you can do that. I know you can get that filet love for your homeboys, the people you down with, the people that look like you, people that have the same interests as you, the people you already love. I know you can do that in the city of brotherly love. I know you can do that. But can you give love like God gives it? Can you be an example of that? Now you got folks that got, you know, you got a target on your back. They haven't totally accepted you, and they got a thing potentially against you. Now, if you show an example of agape love, now you're rolling with something. Now you might just get their attention in a positive way. They might just look past your age, past your color, past your height, past your ethnicity, past your language or your barrier. They might look past the fact that you're different, because you're different in a good way that accepts them with their flaws, that cares about them for who they are, because God made them just like he made you. Just because he put you in a position doesn't make you better. You need to come correct. So you got to be an example in love. You got to be an example in faith. Do they see you trusting and depending on God, or do they see you maneuvering just like everybody else? What do they see in you? Hallelujah. Do they see you fighting your own battles, or do they see you calmly allowing God to fight your battles? What do they see? Are you an example in faith? If you want the OGs to follow you, where they've walked the road longer than you, you need to come correct. Hallelujah. And also in purity, you need to walk pure. You need to have your act together. You can't be perfect, but you better be trying. Hallelujah. You better be faithful, chaste, with self-control. Do you see a picture being painted here? Do you see how you need to be if you approach a situation like this? Because you're going to have one if you haven't already. You're going to come into a situation. You were told to be there. You were instructed to be there. You are there for a purpose. You are called to be there. But there's some stuff about you that folks can start to focus and hone in on that don't work to your advantage. And you just being you. But you can't just be you. You need to be the best version of you. You need to give them something bigger and something better than that thing about you that they could have a prejudice or a bias against, so that they can accept your gifts, so that they can accept your talent, so that you can fulfill your purpose. But folks are folks, and that includes you. So you need to rise above it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is good stuff. He goes on to tell them in verse 13, he says, now, until I come, I want you to give attendance, meaning I want you to focus on, he says, give attendance to reading. What he means is this is verbal, out loud reading of Scripture. And you know what that means? Old Testament. Hear me now. Old Testament. Anytime in the New Testament, they talk about Scripture, they talk about the Word, they talk about Old Testament, because what you're reading wasn't even compiled. They're talking about the Old Testament. So as a Christian, you should be able to take that Old Testament, just like those Jews were supposed to, and figure out exactly, like this brother just said, how that mystery worked. And once you know how that mystery worked, but they didn't have all these writings that we're talking about here. This letter went to Timothy. It wasn't given to everybody else. It was a letter to Timothy. And now he used those instructions to do what he needed to do and say what he needed to say. But when they talked about, when he said reading aloud, he's talking about the Old Testament. But once you understand the mystery, you should see the Old Testament and say, duh, of course, thank you. I didn't know, but now I know. It was a mystery, a secret, but I'm in on it. The secret is out. So he says, until I get there, here's what I want you to focus on: reading aloud the word and exhortation, telling them how to be a better them. And I want you to give your attendance to doctrine. That means instruction, teaching. It doesn't mean like we talk about doctrine. What are your list of what are the things you focus on the most in your church? What do you believe about the Godhead? What do you believe about baptism? Those are the schisms. That's not what they mean when they're talking about doctrine. Focus on what I told you to teach the people, which is how to bridge the gap from the Old Testament into the new and live in that newness of freedom, because Jesus died for you.
Yeah.
become correct. This is what I want you to do, Timothy, until I come. That's in addition to telling them, folks, stop trying to be teachers of the law when you don't really know what you're talking about. Okay? Because you're messing folk up. He goes on. This is beautiful. If you really want to thrive in a situation where you're at a disadvantage now, nothing you did, just something about you. You're tall, and they're intimidated by that. You're short. So they don't want to listen to you because you're short. You're black, and their image of blackness came from the TV. They ain't never really known anybody black. Or they knew one person that was black. But if they don't know you, then that's a whole different thing. You're a threat to them. They're scared of you for some reason. Or maybe you're in a situation where they're mostly blacks and you're white. And they got just as many prejudices because where they live, there were no whites. And only whites they knew, they were in authority. Mm-hmm. So they're seeing you through a lens. You need to give them something bigger and better to focus on so they don't focus on that because you're just being you. Hallelujah. He says, neglect not the gift. Read it for me. Mm-hmm. Yes. Hallelujah. He says, neglect not the gift now that's in you. Now, how did you get it? It was given to you by the laying on of hands. This is very important. Of the presbytery. That means the elders. That means the older folk. That means the same folk that are going to question you because of your youthfulness. You come with a message from me, and you're going to try to check the very people that were the ones laying hands on you when we gave you this calling. Watch yourself now. Watch yourself. He said, neglect not. That means don't take for granted your gift. I know you're gifted, but don't take it for granted. Don't undervalue it. Whatever your gift, it should not be forsaken. It should not lie dormant. Do you hear me now? You shouldn't fail to appreciate it. Did you hear that part about it shouldn't lie dormant? Once you've been called now, once you've been asked to step up to the plate, I'm telling you, you need to handle yourself a certain way, but you can't neglect your gift. You can't let it lie dormant. You let it lie dormant, you're going to fail. You let it lie dormant, it might die. Hallelujah. Amen. It should shine through your gift. It should. And it should affect your environment. It should affect people in a positive way, the way that gift was intended to, but you've got to carry it properly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got to carry it properly. How should you carry this gift? You're in a disadvantaged situation, right? So how should you carry your gift? I just told you. Here's what you don't do. You don't do the little snotty-nosed brat thing. You don't come in all brash. You're the hot shot. I deserve it. I was called. I hang with Paul. I'm the number two. No, you do not. No, you do not. You don't carry it that way. Amen? Amen. Let's look at chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 real quick. I'll be done in a minute. Very important. I know we haven't gotten to verse 16 yet, but I need to stop right here, and I need you to see. Because this word presbytery, that just means the elders. It's the same folk. But see what he says. He says, rebuke not an elder. Oh, now I sent you. You're the number two, right? But guess what? Rebuke not an elder. Might they be imperfect sometime? Sure. But how should you approach their imperfection? Rebuke not an elder. It doesn't mean he doesn't do his job, but you got to handle your stuff. You got to be respectful. You got to give due respect. Rebuke not an elder. It says, but entreat him as a father. So what if you had to tell your father, this father figure, right? Let's assume that your father was a real father in your life, right? And you needed to rebuke him. Your father was wrong. Your father was imperfect. You needed to check your father. You needed to tell him something that he needed to correct or fix. Can you do that? Sure you can, but how do you do it? You talk to him not like he's your buddy. You talk to him not like he's your subordinate. You talk to him not like he's your enemy. You talk to him not like you're better than him. You talk to him as you ought to talk to a father. The words matter. The tone matters. The attitude matters. You might be in the right, but you better not be self-righteous when you do it. This is gold right here. This is wisdom right here. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. You ain't my daddy, but guess what? I'm an elder. You're young. I know you come from Paul. You come correct. Give respect that's due. You might do some stuff better than me. You might know more word than me. Your life, you might think, might be even a little better than me. But guess what? Respect the position. Respect the fact that I've been here longer. I've given more. I've committed more. I've been walking this road longer. Does that make me better? No. But just because you're a young whippersnapper doesn't make you better either. Handle them just like you would a father. And how do you handle the younger men? Like they're your brother. The elder women just as mothers. Are they perfect? No. But you ought to give them that same respect. If you had to check your mother, how would you do it? You wouldn't say it the same way you'd say it to, you know, somebody on the street, somebody at work, your friend. You wouldn't do it the same way, amen? He says the elder women, treat them as mothers and the younger as sisters with all purity. And in verse 3, he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. So what's he saying? He's saying, handle yourself a certain way. Right? Amen, amen, amen. Well, let's go back to verse 15 and we'll go to 16. We'll be done. Hallelujah. He says, now, after he's told him all this, he says, meditate, meaning ponder, meaning focus in upon these things. Give thyself, what did we just sing about? Holy to them. Holy to them. In other words, no half-stepping. Holy. The word that's actually used there, we got all this holy. How do they say it? He says, in the King James, it says, give thyself wholly to them. That's a lot, right? In the Greek, it's actually just the verb to be. Be it. Everything I just told you, be that. Fully, simply. We use a lot of words to try to get the point across. But he says, be everything that I just told you. Hallelujah. Give thyself wholly, fully. Can you do that? Can you do that? If you can do that, I can tell you, you can walk into a situation and be the underdog and end up on top. And bring people along. End up on top and have other people standing on the podium with you. We're not talking about you coming into a situation and conquering it, the situation, and the people. Subduing the people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you standing on the podium and they're standing there with you. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about you subduing an enemy. We're talking about you coming in and trying to help somebody that can't really accept your help because of something about you that you can't change. And you overcoming that, superseding that, rising above that, by being all that God made you to be, by being the best version of you, by coming correct first yourself. You want to lead others, lead yourself first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rise above those disadvantages by handling yourself properly. Give thyself wholly to them, fully, that thy profiting may appear to all. So guess what? If you give yourself fully to it, it's going to be noticed. It's going to be noticeable. everybody's going to see it. So they're not going to be seeing, hey, you're the only white person here, or hey, you're the only black person here. Oh, my God, you're like a beanstalk compared to everybody else. You speak a different language. You have an accent. You're different from us. You're the only woman here. Oh, my God, we can't never had a woman in this position. No, they're going to see the you that God created you to be, because you're not going to neglect your gift, but you're going to handle that gift and carry that gift a certain way, and you're going to give yourself fully to what Paul has taught us. And then in verse 16, it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the teaching. Continue in them. For in doing this, what does it say?
Thou shalt both save thyself and him that heareth
thee. Doesn't that sound good? Mm-hmm. Save yourself and those who hear you. Hallelujah. If you think the ones you're talking to are the only ones that need to get it better, guess what? You're going to be messed up. You're going to be arrogant, mm-hmm. puffed up, mm-hmm. snotty-nosed brat, mm-hmm. whippersnapper. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And if all you're thinking about is yourself, then you're really not going to be a gift to them. But if you handle yourself properly, everybody wins. Everybody's on the podium holding up their hands like this. You're not subduing people. You're not overcoming the people. You're overcoming the situation and the biases that they have. And if you don't come correct, they're going to still focus on those things. That's all they're going to see. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We need to put forward the best of ourselves that God has given us, what we were called to be, with the right attitude. If we can do that, we will remove the stumbling blocks in our lives that can cause us to give up because things don't feel fair. Well, things won't be fair, but you can overcome it. God's given us everything that we need to overcome it. We just have to give ourselves fully to it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that people will no longer resist you or your gifts. They will accept your gifts and benefit from them. But as Paul told us in Timothy, we need to come correct.